like to take this opportunity to apologise to Mrs. and Mr. Sienkamp, to Reba's family.
That is the voice of Oscar Pistorius. I'll tell you what, a hero in the Olympics as a runner for South Africa, now in court on trial for his life, the murder of his girlfriend. That was his apology in a courtroom. Should take a couple of weeks. He says he shot her because he thought she was an intruder through a closed door 4 times. A lot of people intrigued by the Pistorius story, and I think some of that has to do with the fact that he made such big news and really encouraged a lot of people, as he's a double amputee and was incredibly fast on his blades running and was a huge hero and a big encouragement to a lot of people. And now he's in a much different situation because he's accused of intentionally murdering the girlfriend who at the time was there in his house and behind a door. Reva Steenkamp is her name. So that's what he was saying. He was talking to the parents in the courtroom, and we'll see ultimately what the verdict is there. It's gotten massive publicity of everything that's in and out of court in the world, not just in the U.S. That has to be one of the biggest stories right now. Speaking of big stories, the big story also off of the shores of the United States as we roll through America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, welcome to the week, is are we going to find that 777? While there was only Philip Wood, the lone American on the flight, the world is still talking about this. Maybe not quite as much, but it has drawn a lot of attention because of where could this plane be? What nefarious thing happened on the plane? What does it mean when you hear the pings? And they're cutting down the haystack, but they're having a tough time finding the needle. They're scouring the sea after hearing underwater pulses every day. Updates out of Perth, Australia. Not so sure what they're going to come up with. I still believe in my heart of hearts, I really think it would be a miracle if they find that plane. And a lot of money, a lot of time, and a lot of heartache over the search for this Malaysian airliner that seemingly was almost on a routine trip from Kuala Lumpur to China, but it was nothing routine. There's all kinds of conversation about flying low and flying high altitude and what was the last thing said on the plane and why would they make a mysterious turn off course. Nothing but questions and no answers so far at this point. There were a lot of people that wrote to me about unemployment benefits. Some people saying, you know, how long can we continue to extend? And others saying, boy, I hope they extend. And when I say a lot of people, 10 people wrote to me about this in a day. So the Senate on Monday passed a bill to extend federal jobless benefits for the more than 2 million unemployed workers through May 31st. It passed 59-38. So if it's enacted, the bill would retroactively help the unemployed who have been without benefits. It would throw a financial lifeline, is what the Democrats are saying, to those who have been scrambling to get by since it lapsed the week of December 28th, the expiration for the program took away that net for the long-term unemployed Americans who haven't been able to find work. In the House, I do not believe it'll pass. John Boehner, the Speaker, has said he has concerns about the bill. Top Republicans really haven't said whether the chamber will even consider the bill. In the Senate, 6 Republicans did sign on to the $9 billion measure last Friday, and it would deal funds, the jobless benefits through the end of May, and it would include back payments of the missed unemployment checks since December, so it would apply to the numbers that I, you know, to the numbers that I just mentioned. They're the over 2 million people, but it's pretty tough to say what will happen with the House. I'd say it's a long shot with the House to give the thumbs up for that. Coming up in this hour of America Tonight, coming up around the bend, the president and the selfie controversy. Did you hear about that? Big Pappy taking a photo with the Prez when he was honoring the Red Sox. Was it a no-no? Was it a stroke of marketing brilliance? We'll talk about that. Supposedly there is a selfie ban at the White House, but how can that be? I thought the president liked to take selfies. Also, after the Boston Marathon bombing, we're coming up on another Boston Marathon. Some thoughts on the people in Boston. And coming up later in the week, we're going to have two reporters on to talk about now what's happened and what actually happened that day. And here we are a year later, and so many people wanted to enter the race, and so many people have donated and tried to help the people of Boston, but it will be a little bit of a different race because the fences, the closeness of the people in the neighborhood has been pushed back a little bit, and there'll be more eyes than ever, I think, paying attention to what's happening there for fear that there could be some kind of copycat or, you know, once again, the wide open spaces. It's now something else to pay attention to in the kind of world that we live in at this point. But I think the exciting thing is that so many people wanted to be there and wanted to support the people of Boston. They're going to have one of their biggest years ever. I mean, they always have to turn people away, but I think they had to turn record numbers of people away this time around. So how about that? And I'm not going to make you wait for this, but UConn won the national title over Kentucky. Woohoo! Good for them, Huskies. Got a lot of friends that live in Connecticut that are pretty excited about this. And, you know, UConn led the whole way. In the end, the score was 60-54. Senior Shabazz Napier was pretty good. He was the most outstanding player. He was named that. And he ended up with 22 points. He was killer. It was really, really tough to to vote against him and to think that they weren't going to come back, and they certainly did. And you think about this, UConn was barred from last year's tournament. They were barred from the tournament, and so when he got the microphone to be given the award, Napier, he said to the crowd, this giant crowd, he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is what happens when you banned us." So good for UConn, because they exploded out of the gate. They were quick and they were tough to stop. So they win this one. They get to hoist the trophy, cut down the net, and they're probably still celebrating as that just happened a few hours ago. All right, hang with us. What about the president and selfies? That's next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources, Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, entitlements, looming Obamacare. The death of the U.S. dollar as the global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you're concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and we'll discuss your options of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metal IRA. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar crashes. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
Hey everyone, have you heard about the no-no hair removal device that's sweeping the globe? If you want to go weeks without shaving and get smooth, professional, quality results, here's our favorite host, Cheryl, for no-no hair removal.
Thanks. Hey gals, I love talking about my no-no. It's this cute little hair removal system that you can take with you and use almost anywhere at home or on the road. No more expensive in-office treatments, painful waxing, and no more wasting your valuable time. Got unwanted facial hair? No-no has patented Thermacon technology that works on all hair and skin colors, so it's perfect for using on all body parts. And now you can take advantage of this incredible risk-free trial. Get the No-No, the facial kit, a travel case, and a $100 discount shopping card, and you don't risk a penny to try it. Try the incredible No-No hair completely risk-free. Call 1-800-953-6062. That's 800-953-6062. 800-953-6062.
We heal together. We strengthen each other.
That was Senator Elizabeth Warren talking about the Boston Marathon bombing a year later, saying that the city is healing, and part of that healing, of course, was the Boston Red Sox winning the World Series. And they did that, and then they went to the White House and got their prize picture with the president, got to check out the White House and all that kind of stuff. While they were at the White House, there was a little selfie action going on between Big Papi and the press, and then there was some controversy over that. Why? Because Samsung was looking for that, the sponsorship of the selfie thing. Remember, it's kind of like the Oscars and Ellen taking a picture with a whole bunch of movie stars. So who's the sucker in this one? And the president do advertising for Samsung. I guess they considered after Ortiz, David Ortiz, the Red Sox player, snapped a selfie with the prez, I guess that they considered a ban of taking selfies, because now this is what happens. People go to the White House and grab the president or the first lady or whoever and turn the cameras around. So they were considering doing that, since this became, for Ortiz, a plug for the corporate sponsor Samsung. And, of course, why would the president or anybody in the White House know anything about that? But he did this as they were celebrating, you know, with all the other Red Sox. So he said, do you mind if I take another one? He took a couple of different selfies. It's a Big Papi selfie, and it's a big sponsorship selfie. So Jay Carney was barraged about the whole selfie thing at the White House. Can you imagine? Here's what he had to say about the ban.
There's no discussion of a ban. We believe this issue will be resolved, and we've taken the same approach on this matter as we have when we've had similar incidents or cases when the president's image has been used for commercial purposes.
Blah, 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 blah. Aren't there more important things to do than worry about selfies? Which, by the way, I don't get this whole selfie thing, because people were already flipping the camera around and taking pictures. Then I guess somebody dubbed it a selfie, And now you can even buy, somebody sent me this actually, where you can print out the selfie pictures. They have an actual printer for it. See if you can dream it up. Somebody's going to come up with a product and make some money on it. So anything with selfie on it is hot, hot, hot right now. Not hot is this. The United States Supreme Court on Monday declined a request for the High Court to determine the constitutionality of the federal government's domestic spying policies. Plaintiffs in the case Clayman versus Obama attempted to have the justices review the issue of the legality of the NSA surveillance practices before the case goes through the normal legal avenues that it would. But it's rare for any kind of request like that to actually go all the way through, to come to fruition. So in the process of declining to hear the challenge, the Supreme Court knocks the case back down to a federal appeals court where a review of the case was already scheduled to take place anyway. Last year, a federal judge ruled that the NSA's bulk collection of phone data from American citizens is likely illegal and violates the Constitution, you think. More specifically, it's protection from unreasonable search and seizures. Cat's out of the bag, and no matter what you think of Ed Snowden, he let the cat crawl out of the bag, and he's letting more happen. So anything that was a secret, guess what? It's not a secret anymore. We know about it. We know about it. So it's impossible to hide behind the three dreaded letters. And unfortunately, the whole world knows about it, too. I mean, you could say, geez, how much did that, how much did that damage the credibility of the United States? I think it had damaged a little bit. I mean, listen, everybody knows everybody's spying on everybody. Okay, and is anybody in any of the world, in any of the world powers today thinking that's not happening? Of course not. Very doubtful. So it's more of the same, really. Except for that the volume of it. It's kind of like this whole thing with what's happened now with the CIA, and you see how the Senate is and how they freaked out over what's happened to them. The Democrats are all jumping on Senator Feinstein's defense over the CIA director's pretty emotional comment because, you know, what happened is Michael Hayden, who was President Bush's director from 2006 to 2009, said that the motivation behind the still classified 6,300-page investigation may show deep emotional feeling on the part of the senator, but he says, I don't think it leads you to an objective report. That, you know, that the reason she wanted the interrogations produced was motivated by how she felt emotionally about it. So Democrats are slamming Hayden for saying that about Dianne Feinstein, that it was a whole emotional response and the reason why she wanted the report. On the Senate floor, Majority Leader Harry Reid called the comments condescending, also trying to link them to Republicans as a whole. Harry Reid said, does this sound like a person or party that respects women? And then Mark Udall, a Democrat who serves alongside Feinstein on the Senate Intelligence Committee, called the reference to Feinstein's emotion a baseless smear that Hayden wouldn't make against a man. Oh, boy. Feinstein, you already know this, and her committee voted 11-3 last week to declassify about 500 pages of the report. How much of that is redacted? I think a ton of it was redacted or will be. The CIA is reviewing the sections. The process coincides with a dispute between Feinstein's committee and the agency over dueling allegations of illegal snooping and competing criminal referrals. So she's pushing to get it, to get as much of the report as she can, and Hayden is pushing back and saying this is stupid, and learning a fact is not the same thing as learning the importance of the fact. Because he says the interrogations, he said this over the weekend as part of the Sunday Swirl, which I say is the talking heads talking politics on any of the TV shows. He was on Fox, and he said the interrogations helped the United States track bin Laden, and that if that wasn't the case, they wouldn't have been able to do that. So I think some of it gets released, but I think a ton of it, I mean, the study is years and years in the making, millions of internal CIA and other records, and I think we'll only see a little bit of this in the beginning, and maybe someday the rest of it comes out, and more people can review what happened in the prisons, what happened to the detainees, and, you know, what ultimately was going on with the CIA, and was it fair, foul, or are you just indifferent to it? So the problem is with the spook agencies, they have to have the ability to do what they do, or they're useless, and we might as well expunge the CIA. Can you imagine that? If we got rid of all of those agencies, as much as there are problems and different layers of it and sharing information, I mean, good luck with all of us on our own out there without some of the great, great people who really have crossed through the doors of the CIA. And we've had some of those ex-agents on the show, and they've been very forthcoming about some of the things that have happened with the CIA and some of the things that would blow our minds if we knew what could have happened here in the United States. And I trust some of those friendships that it's pretty true that everything isn't as sinister as is always portrayed. And you got to be careful what you wish for, because as much as we definitely do not want to be spied upon, let's face that, let's face the fact that yes, American rights were trampled on, at the same time we don't want to completely eliminate branches of the government that we need, otherwise we put ourselves in completely defenseless positions, and we need some of those bright minds, those investigative minds that work at the layers, some of the layers in the CIA, and really put themselves in harm's way. It's brutal. When Obama first took over, a lot of those people, I've said this a couple times now, people forget this, felt very exposed, and were just going to say, you know what, forget it, we're just going to cut out of here. And he had to march down to the CIA and convince the people that they were doing a good job, and he had their back. All right, we got your back. Coming up next, hang with us. We're going to introduce you to a man who went through schizophrenia and came out on the other side. Wait till you hear his story. It's riveting, riveting stuff. Stay with us.
If you own a business, you need customers, right? Well, your potential customers are listening to this radio program right now, and I can help you reach them. Hi, I'm Matt Brower, a national marketing executive at the radio network responsible for this program. I can help you customize a national radio campaign that fits your budget, large or small, while targeting your specific audience. Contact me to learn how radio advertising can make your business more profitable. MBROWER at GCNLive.com. That's MBROWER at GCNLive.com.
I'm David Cordani, President and CEO of Cigna. We're proud to support the March of Dimes by walking in the March for Babies. It feels great to know that the money we raise funds life-saving research and programs that improve the health of babies. With your help, we can make this year better than ever. Join Cigna and our coworkers across the country in March for Babies to help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthier babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org and march to help our babies. Thank you.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you are searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
Issues here and why there aren't more clinics available, more opportunities for people. And let's start talking about this instead of hiding behind a rock. I'm so excited about our next guest. Bill McAfee, of course, is the founder and CEO of Magpie Media. You might have heard of it. He also publishes SZ Mag, which is a special quarterly magazine. That's why I love this. That actually encourages and informs people affected by schizophrenia. Can you imagine? It's out there. There's help out there. And he knows all about it because in his 20s, he was diagnosed with schizophrenia. And he went through a wild ride, came out on the other side, and is sharing his story with so many people. He's got a great new book out called To Cry a Dry Tear, Bill McAfee's Journey of Hope and Recovery with Schizophrenia. Bill, thanks for spending some time with us here on America Tonight.
No problem. Thanks, Kate, for having me.
So I mentioned this, that in your 20s, you were diagnosed with schizophrenia. Did you know that's what it was? Did you have any idea what was going on? Tell us that odyssey.
Sure. Well, Kate, way back in 1987, at the age of 24, I was very, very ill. I was hospitalized 6 different times, lived in 3 different group homes, and had suicide attempt. However, the first signs that started to happen was when I was under a lot of pressure and my sleeping pattern started to fall. I would call off shifts to work. I wouldn't show up for work. And I started to see actually what's called illusions, where I saw words floating off the pages of theology that I was reading, and I would see faces in my barn wood. The knots would turn into faces, and I didn't know what was happening. I thought something supernatural was happening and everything like that, because I thought, boy, at age 24, if somebody was mentally ill, they'd be mentally ill as a child, not necessarily at the age of 24. So I thought something suspicious or something supernatural was happening, and that set in a seed of paranoia. So then I became all very paranoid and everything like that, and I had a very acute case where has basically ended up, you know, walking down the street with no clothes on and being picked up by the police and hospitalized and a whole bunch of stuff like that. But to answer your question, no, I didn't know I was getting sick. And that's the nature of mental illness, the nature of schizophrenia is that we do not believe we're ill. We don't believe we're sick. And it's sort of like, you know, when our if we fall down and break our arm, when there's a bone sticking out and we have blood there, the brain says to the arm, you know, well, it says, oh, there's pain here and it's broken and I got to go to the doctor and get it fixed and everything. But when the brain is sick, and the nature of schizophrenia is that we don't really recognize it. We don't have that insight or recognize that we're sick.
So this happens to you. What happened with your family and friends? Were they in there probably frustrated trying to help you, thinking, what kind of therapy can we get? What medication? What can we do?
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is an illness that doesn't only affect the individual, it affects the whole family because of the nature of it. I mean, schizophrenia affects 1 out of 100 people in a lifetime. That means that walking around, 1 out of 250 people at present walking around has this illness as schizophrenia. It's a huge part. But yeah, I mean, what's frustrating a lot of times when you don't realize you're ill is that we're out of logic or out of reality. And the people who are trying to help you are in reality. And so when they try to talk logic to you and you don't understand it, it's very frustrating. And you know, for many people who've seen the movie A Beautiful Mind, one of the greatest scenes in that movie was where Russell Crowe's wife picked up the glass and was in the washroom and started to cry and whipped the glass across the hit the mirror and shattered it all, because that's what families go through. They go through a frustration and a hard dilemma, because a lot of times people who are dealing with schizophrenia were very intelligent and had a bright future ahead of them, lots of, you know, skills. But then when this illness hits, it really takes a lot out of you. And it, like I was 5 years on the couch, really be doing nothing, just thinking of ways how to kill myself and being very depressed.
So you go from that to now you have a family, you have children. So there is a way out. Is that what your message is to people when you go and speak?
Absolutely, Kate. Absolutely. There is life after mental illness. And, you know, one of the things that people really find out is that what this illness really affects is, first of all, it affects your mind. Like when we're in a psychosis or we're having symptoms like paranoia or having illusions, delusions, hallucinations, hearing voices, thinking you can read other people's minds, those things are very disruptive to our day-to-day life, as you could imagine. But usually once we get on it, and those are known as positive symptoms, things that are added to your personality that shouldn't be there. But those symptoms can be quite nicely cleared up. Not for everybody, but for a lot of people, those symptoms can be cleared up with medication. But then the other half of it is dealing with, once you get stabilized, I mean, you know, you'd think, wow, you're back into reality, Bill. You're back into reality. But you know what? My reality consisted of I had lost my job, I lost my house, I lost my friends, I lost my financial security, and I found out I was just another 1 out of 100 people who have this illness known as schizophrenia. So therefore, with the negative symptoms, when you have that, the deficit symptoms or negative symptoms, as they're called, like the lack of motivation, the lack of drive, emotional a lack of energy, you have an emotional blandness, a blunted effect, depression can set in. Those are the real difficult things to deal with once you're back in reality. And for me, I was 5 years on the couch, and I would say if things don't change, they're going to stay the same. And, you know, I hated my same. I thought that 5 years was going to turn into 7 years and 7 years into 10 years, and that scared the heck out of me. And I was so I knew I needed to do something.
So what did you do? How did you go to groups? Did you try to start them? Because that's what I think is missing, Bill. When I talk to people who have suffered from schizophrenia or paranoia or other bipolar disorder, they say there's not really that kind of help that they can get that makes them hang on.
Absolutely. Well, I think what happens, Kate, is that once we're in that stage, we get stuck. And at one time in our lives, one thing that people with mental illness, all we have in common at one time is that we have a real lack of a lack of self-esteem and a lack of confidence. And what happens is when we get stuck at an area where we might be stable, but we'll say, you know, to Johnny, you know, Johnny, did you want to try something or do you have any goals? And you know what? Johnny may have tried once or twice and have failed. And so we say, no, leave us alone. We don't want to do anything. I'm fine the way I am. However, that was in my case, for example, you know, having the self-esteem and lack of self-esteem and lack of confidence. I remembered what a grade 7 teacher said to me. And she said, Bill, if you don't learn how to write properly in life, you'll never amount to anything. And what she meant about my writing was my penmanship. So I said to myself, I said, you know what? I'm going to prove to somebody that I can do something. And I phoned the local literacy foundation, and I said, listen, I know how to read and I know how to write, but I want to improve my penmanship. Can you send somebody over? And that was my turning point, because Martha Mason basically was a volunteer there, and she was going to Niagara College for social work, and she was the executive director of the Big Brothers and Big Sisters. And she came into my life, and she learned more about schizophrenia than I did penmanship from her. But Martha took an interest in me and got me interested in the community, where I was helping out as treasurer of the local scout group. And I met Martha's husband and her family, and I met Peter, who eventually I played squash and racquetball with. And what happened is that I gained a whole new circle of friends who accepted me for who I was and not what I had. But the only problem there was that all my friends were working, kind of thing. And I thought, well, you know, that's got to be the kind of next step, is go back to work. But in the past, I tried to go back to work and it didn't work out. And I just tried a whole bunch of things. You know, I took a photography course. I did a small engine repair course. I tried to do grocery shopping for elderly people. I tried to start a landscaping business. All these things that they weren't working out. But what happened is that I was persistent, and I remember I knew I needed to create a spark, and whether that was going to the Legion Shell Band and listen to the Legion Band or going to somebody's travel log that they were showing. And I got interested in town council politics, and I went to the library where they're held, and one day I was early, and I came across the book called 101 Ways How to Start a Business with Little or No Capital. And I said, that's me. I have no capital. But I read a scenario in the book where before VCRs were invented, this woman watched 3 separate television stations, and she ended up doing a newsletter on the soap operas and selling it to her working friends. And a light bulb came in. I said, you know what? I probably can't do a newsletter on the soap operas, but I could probably do something on schizophrenia. And that was in 1993, and in 1994, I incorporated my business, and here we are 20 years later.
Wow. Do you ever hear from people that you've touched? I mean, that's got to be the thing that keeps you really going, when people say, wow, Bill, you've really helped me turn around, or see that I need to find that spark like you. Have you gotten letters and calls and stuff from people?
Oh, absolutely, all the time. I mean, we know we help educate people. We help with support and different things like that, and I get that all the time. Yeah, and it's really very satisfying, and I know I'm called to do what I do. And you know, just going back, Kate, to the part about, you know, people get stuck in that. What's lacking is opportunity. A lot of times, opportunity. I mean, if you raise your hand right now to as high as it will go, and you say opportunity's up there, and maybe the opportunity is a part-time job or going back to school, but we're down here at the lower level. And it seems to be those stepping stones or those small steps of opportunities that don't exist. And that's where we need to fall into place and find out those opportunities to create opportunities to get us up to where the big opportunity is, what we want to do. And one of the main things, you know, it's so important is our self-esteem and our confidence. And persistence. Persistence is the key as well. I mean, look at Jack Canfield. Jack Canfield, he's the author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul book. Mm-hmm. And they sold like a half a million or 500 million books on the Chicken Soup for the Soul thing. But you know what? He was turned down by 144 publishers. And look at Edison with the light bulb. You know, how many times did he try to find a material that would make a light bulb for the element? And persistence is the key. We gotta have persistence.
Yep. So well said. I hope, Bill, people are listening and they grab on to that shred of hope for sure. If somebody wants a copy of your book, how can they get it? Amazon?
Yeah, they can go on Amazon or go to our website, mentalwellnesstoday.com is our website, or they can go to Amazon. It's everywhere up there. So,
Bill, thank you and continued success.
Thanks, Kate. Thanks for the opportunity.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
Over. So without further ado, let's not stand on ceremony. Let's go and check those emails.
You have mail, mistress.
First one up out of the bag is Stacy, and Stacy says, Kate, we've been listening to you down here in Mississippi. I think this is a different Stacy, maybe not. And says, have you been seeing what is happening now with Flight 370? And the confusion over the pings. What's the latest that you know? I heard that they're not quite sure what it is. My buddy thinks it's a decoy. How about you? You know, it's funny you say that, Stacy, about the whole decoy thing, because one of my friends, Joe, thinks that it's a decoy, too, saying that they're smart enough if there was 20, 25 people and they were trying to pull off some kind of conspiracy, they could try to plan a black box. But I think I'm not so sure about that. What I am sure about is, boy, with this search for this flight, they have us all over the place on this. They're saying the pulse signals, the latest that I know, is they detected in the Indian Ocean, have the best hope for finding the flight, but there's still nothing there. So what happened? Did the crew find both black boxes or not? They're doing the underwater search thing, rather. That's the next step. And the signal sounds like the plane's beacons, but I don't know. Is it so far-fetched to think that that couldn't have been set up? It's crazy. The whole thing is crazy, and it's really the people that I feel terrible for. At this time, now you think it's been over a month. You know, we're on the precipice of that, so the frustration level must be through the ceiling. I mean, through the ceiling. They botched it up in the beginning, and I think that's part of the problem. So we're waiting. We'll see. I'm just going to take the we'll see stance. I was really convinced we weren't going to find the plane, and, you know, maybe they still won't find the plane. Maybe they still won't find the plane. Here's another one. This one from Jake, who listens to us in Austin, Texas. And Jake says, yo, Katie D. I don't know if you caught this or not, because I know that you pay attention to all things sports, but Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s car catched on fire. So there was that postponement because of the rain, and then it was just a few laps from what I heard, and then that was it. It went up in flames. You know what? I saw a news break, and it was crazy, the fire all underneath it. He crashed his car into the wall. It was only like 12 laps in, and it caught fire. So he lost a tire. That's what happened. He veered into the grass, and that sent him to the outside wall. It was just a crazy mistake. He said he didn't see the grass. He didn't know that the grass was down there. And he said, you know, sorry to the fans of 88. He feels bad for the guys on his team. It was a mistake. He's saying, I made a mistake. It was my fault. So how about that? And it was interesting because of the postponement because of the rain on Sunday. And then one of the most popular drivers knocked out of it. Okay, here's another one. This one, boy, you guys are all over the map this time around on a Monday, Tuesday show here on America Tonight. This one from Jim, who says, Pistorius. I think I heard you talking about this story with one of your guys at the mothership. And I don't know if you've been following what the latest is, but he apologized in court, Kate. What a wild thing. He apologized to the family of the girlfriend, and it's just, I think he's just trying to play them off. We can't imagine that this guy didn't flat out go nutty and shoot her. I think there's more revelations to come about on this story, because it was a weird thing of Valentine's Day, and I don't know. I think it's weird, and because he was famous, it's gotten so much attention, but I think they're going to find him guilty. Who knows? He pled not guilty to murder. It's been a high-profile trial, to say the least, because of the fact that he was an Olympian and so many people know his name from that, and then now they know it from this whole twisted, crazy thing. And I guess his defense is going to call, like, 17 witnesses or something, and they keep sticking to the story, and I think this is the way it's going to go out, that he thought his girlfriend was an intruder, and that's what happened, that it was a mistake, that he thought it was an intruder, but it just doesn't look that way. So this South African amputee sprinter who's world famous now is world famous for what happened last year, and I think the family is more than distraught. Now here it is. They're in the courtroom, so we'll see what ultimately they decide. This could go for a while. I think this is going to go for at least a couple of weeks. All right, moving along to yet something completely different here on the show. This one from Bob in Illinois. Bob is like Jake. He's starting to email us a ton. Kate Delaney, you always say that picking stocks is like standing at the craps table. No doubt, my dear. Did you see that the S&P, NASDAQ fell again and the Dow? So it's been very bleak the last couple of days coming out of last week. It's tough to pick that basket of stocks. That's what I have to do once a year with my stocks. Maybe it's a little bit better. I feel sort of protected that way. Yeah, stock advice. I would never give anyone stock advice except for to say diversify, and do your homework, on whatever it is that you decide you're going to pick. But there's no guarantees. That's why I'm glad he remembered that. That's why I said that whole thing about the fact that it is like being at the craps table. If it was so easy, then anybody, even with just a handful of dollars, would put their money into it. I mean, really, you're pulling the lever. You might, you know, there's some things that are an easier bet than others, but when you have less money to play with, it's not the same thing, and then, you know, you lose, and then the money gets drained. You know how this goes, right? It is. It's the craps table. Diversify. That's the only advice I would give anyone. Diversify. Right, here's this one from Maddie who says, Kate, I think you're the same Kate Delaney that I used to listen to in Santa Maria, California. Woo, you have grown up. I was so excited to find you on the GCN network, and I heard you talking about Santa Barbara and spending time in Santa Barbara, and it brought a real grin to my face because I, too, went to school at UCSB, and the celebration there, Deltopia, is huge. It was fun when I went to school. It was just about a decade ago, but it wasn't quite as ugly as it is now. I think it's partially because so many other people come from different parts of California to be a part of the festival. And then, you know, what that encourages, a lot of drinking and idiots that do stupid, stupid things. Yeah, you know, the thing that happened there is they arrested 100 people. And some of those people are going to get seriously prosecuted for what they did. They threw things like bottles of alcohol and bricks in the faces of the campus police and the other officers that responded from other counties. That's a no-no. If you get crazy, wild, drunk, and mouthy, you have better hope you have friends that get you out of that situation, because you do something stupid, hey, assault is assault. And some of them were kids, you know, college kids, but it doesn't matter. They're not going to be lenient. You're over 18 years old, so you're not going to catch a break. In fact, I think that it's going to be downright nasty for some of them when they're processed. At least 18 were full-on arrested, and then another 80 were arrested, so meaning being processed. I don't think all of them are going to get an easy pass, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, crazy things happen, small fires. It looked like, sadly, sometimes when you see a celebration after somebody wins a big event, a professional event, and they had stop signs torn down. Too bad, too, Santa Barbara, when you think of Isla Vista. The time I spent there, I can't believe it. Then that, you know what that does? It makes other people worry of those events at campuses. I mean, hey, fun is fun, but when you start to become a stupid drunk and then that exacerbates and goes through the crowd, then that's when they think about, you know what, we're not going to do this anymore, and you ruin it for everybody. All right, one quick last one. This one from Sean, who says, Kate, I heard you mentioning the landslide the last couple of weeks, and I think they're still finding bodies. It's got to be so depressing, like you've mentioned, for the people who are on the recovery efforts. I did that for a while. I was a first responder, and it was with a heavy heart that I ended up stopping doing that, unless it's a pure emergency, because I really, to tell you the truth, couldn't handle it. Yeah, I think it's tough for those people. Now, it's 33 officially bodies they've processed and found. And this is all from that mudslide that happened back on the 22nd of March in Oso, that town. And it's, you know, it's just a terrible thing. I mean, well, you know, what can you say? I think the worst part of this with finding the bodies and the crews and doing that whole thing is the fact that, one, they got to be careful and process it so slow, so there's people waiting with bated breath. And then the other thing is, you know, they could look at who are they going to blame for this. You have people in this area, in this tucked underneath the beautiful mountains, the Cascade Mountains. But look at the danger that was lurking, and was even a civil engineer mentioning it 15 years earlier, but nobody did anything, and they moved into the area, and it was just luck of the draw if people were home or not, or they happened to be someplace else. Very, very sad. All right, if you have any thoughts you want to share on what's happening in the news, in your world, or whatever else, share it, americatonight.net.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.